To continue our journey through the book of Acts this morning. Good to see everybody here for Sunday school. Acts chapter 13, where we saw at the beginning of the chapter where Paul and Barnabas were sent out on their first missionary journey. He's not named Paul yet. And how he immediately went to the synagogue and began to preach to the Jews. And how he took the Old Testament and slowly worked it up to where Jesus Christ was the answer and the Savior and the Messiah and so forth. And we saw that the initial reaction of the Jews was kind of mixed. There toward the end of the chapter where we finished last week, says verse 42, when the Jews were gone out, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. So the Gentiles heard about what was going on, and so they wanted to hear the message as well that Paul had been preaching. And that's where we finished last week. So who would, by way of introduction, start us off there at 43 and go to the end of the chapter? Any volunteers to do Acts 13:43-52? And then we'll pray and get started. Any volunteers to do that? Pastor Shannon, thank you.
Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking unto them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. And the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. When Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. As many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coasts. But they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Let's pray and get started. Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege to open your word together. We pray you'd teach us from it, Lord, and grow us from it, and that Jesus Christ would be magnified as we study it together. We need your wisdom, and we commit this to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So you can see this transition taking place where Paul says that you should have had opportunity to hear it first. But now, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. So, did you notice the reason that the Jews were upset there in verse 45? It wasn't so much about the message, but it was envy about the crowds. Isn't that sad? That they were, as it says, they were filled with envy, their jealousy, that Paul and Barnabas came into town and were preaching, and they were drawing bigger crowds than the synagogue, and that made them envious. And so they decided, therefore, to resist and attack Paul and Barnabas and their message. And that's where Paul said there in verse 46, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. This was Jesus' mandate. Let's look at this. Let's go to Matthew chapter 10. And verse 6, and look and see how Jesus Christ made it clear that the gospel was to be preached first to the Jews. So who would read Matthew 10 and verse 6? Any volunteers? Philip, thank you. So initially, when Jesus commissioned the disciples, at the very beginning, he said, I want you to go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So go over now to chapter 15 of Matthew. And verse 24, and who would read that? Matthew 15:24. And again, we'll see this mandate that the Jews came first. Any volunteers? Matthew 15:24. Mr. Scott?
But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
And then if you go to Luke 24, Jesus makes it clear that everything started at Jerusalem, which of course it did, the day of Pentecost and so forth. So notice Luke 24 down to verse 47. It said, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And sure enough, when you get to the book of Acts, it all began in Jerusalem, didn't it? Even when Jesus, right before he ascended to heaven in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, let's turn over there. Look what he said. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me. What's he say? Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and then what? Uttermost part of the earth. So it was all to begin at Jerusalem, was all to begin at Judea, was all to begin with the Jews. But as Paul said in our verse, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And of course, Paul understood and recognized that this was his call. If you go to chapter 9, we'll review this. Chapter 9, verse 15 of Acts, where Paul was initially called. Who would read that? Acts 9:15. Brad, thanks. Before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. So yes, Paul's still going to preach to the Jews, the children of Israel, but Paul is going to be my special emissary to the Gentiles and to kings. This is before Paul was even starting on his preaching. This was God talking to Ananias about Paul prior to Paul even receiving his sight again. And so this is his special mandate. Let's go to chapter 14 of Acts now and see this progression. And we'll be eventually getting here. But notice 14, verse 27. And when they had come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Now look at chapter 15, verse 12. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles. And then go to chapter 21 and verse 19. When he had saluted them, he declared particularly what God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And this carries on. So the book of Acts is really in two sections. It starts off focusing primarily on Peter, and then it ends up focusing on Paul, but it also starts off primarily focusing on the Jews, and then eventually it's focused on the Gentiles. And Paul says here, this is kind of his official declaration, that now we turn to the Gentiles. Now, if you go to Galatians 2, verse 8, Paul explains why this is. Who would read that for us? Galatians 2, verse 8. Any volunteers? Thank you, Maggie.
For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me towards the Gentiles.
So here Paul is talking about Peter, and he says God used him effectually to the circumcision, or the Jews. But he says now he is working mightily in me toward the Gentiles. So he's reflecting back on how God used Peter to see great things happen. And we see that in Acts, the beginning of Acts, where 3,000 people are saved in one day and then thousands more get saved there in Jerusalem. So what we're seeing here is the beginning of, if you go to Luke 21, the beginning of what we will call the time of the Gentiles. So who would read Luke 21:24? Beryl, thank you. So the times of the Gentiles is being fulfilled now in the church age. And I said it began, but it didn't begin then. It actually began way back with Nebuchadnezzar's dream. So remember, there were four main sections of the image that he saw. Remember back when we studied Daniel? I'm sure you have that memorized. There was the golden head. There was the silver upper body, the brass main body, and then the iron legs. And then God explained how that represented, the gold head represented Babylon, who was the ruling country at that time when the dream was given. And then the silver upper body was Medo-Persia. The brass body was Greece, Alexander the Great. And then the iron legs is Rome. And there has not been a world governing country or power since Rome. It's all been broken up into multiple pieces. But we see this resurgence of Rome in the book of Revelation during the tribulation period, don't we? Now it'll be a different form, and it'll be spiritual as well as physical. And so in Daniel, during the 70th week, which is the tribulation period, at the end of the 70th week, we see this stone come down out of heaven and hits the toes and breaks it up into pieces, and then the stone takes over the whole world. That's Jesus' kingdom, removing all Gentile kingdoms and setting up his one kingdom. And that is the end of the time of the Gentiles. So it started with Nebuchadnezzar. It ends with Jesus returning to the earth. And so the Gentiles will be involved in the tribulation as well, although it is a Jewish dispensation. But what Paul is saying is that now during the church age, the focus, or the majority of the people that are going to get saved, Gentiles. And it's true. I mean, nobody knows the number, but if we had to sit and try to guess what percentage of born-again Christians are Jews, be a pretty tiny number, wouldn't it? And what we're seeing is the beginning of this shift. Because Acts chapter 2, what do we see? 3,000 Jews getting saved. No Gentiles, only Jews. Already now, here by chapter 13, we're seeing the Jews rejecting and persecuting, and the Gentiles accepting. And now Gentile churches are going to start getting established. And when you go through the church epistles, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, all Gentile churches. Mark?
Yeah, so those 3,000 Jews that have played at the beginning, in a sense, they will become assimilated into the Gentile population because they would be classed as Christians, not as Jews, because they wouldn't practice as a Jewish person would practice in the temple as such.
That's so kind of how it happened over time.
Over time, really, they would be sort of assimilated into the general population as such.
Because the Bible says we're one body, right? For by one Spirit we're all baptized in one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles. And so it's God doesn't see it like we see it. God sees Christians and non-Christians. Those who accept His Son and those who don't. And so as Paul said, go back to our verse there, Acts 13:47. The Lord hath commanded us. So notice he's saying this is the Lord's mandate. I've set thee to be a light of the Gentiles. So this is Paul's special mandate, to be a light to the Gentiles. And then, of course, Paul had some vision. So look at the end of the verse. That thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. I'd call that some vision, wouldn't you? The ends of the earth. This is Paul speaking about his own ministry, and he says, God has called me to be a light to the ends of the earth. So, here's a question, trivia question. Did the gospel make it to the ends of the earth? Is it at the ends of the earth today? It's not, is it? I mean, there's countries still that don't have the Bible. There's still people all over the world that have not heard of Jesus. But in Paul's day, did it make it? And the answer is in Colossians. So let's turn there. Mark.
Yeah, that's sort of generational, though, isn't it?
Absolutely.
The country could be on fire for the Lord, and it takes one generation to walk away from the Lord, and once again, they're right up the gospel.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, I can say the gospel, the early missionaries, I don't know if we talk about the disciples, but the 1700s, 1800s, so we're now around the world and sort of setting up mission stations, and we're preaching Christ, but in a sense, if that fire sort of died out or dimmed out, it was sort of affecting the Lord, sort of took back over again. But so, did the word go out? Probably, yes, it did.
It did.
But it's still there for him, not. Yes.
Yep. I mean, England's a classic example, isn't it? Back after the Reformation and 200-300 years ago, they were the ones that were sending all the missionaries to places like America, China, and now they're a mission field. Go to England and try to find a Bible-believing church among the millions and millions of people. You're going to struggle. And if you do, it's going to be tiny. How sad is that? This is the country that sent out all the missionaries originally. So it definitely is generational. But in Paul's day, this is important. Colossians chapter 1, who would read verse 6? Mr. Scott?
Which has come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as a dog also in you, since the day he heard it of it, and knew the grace of God in truth.
So notice he said, he's talking about the gospel there in verse 5. He says, it's come unto you as it is in all the world. Now look at verse 23 of Colossians 1. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, this next phrase, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven. So Colossians was written later in Paul's ministry. Not the last, but close to the end. And as he's getting to the end of his ministry, he says that everybody's had an opportunity. Isn't that amazing? It started in Jerusalem, and just in 30 years, because people obeyed the Word of God and went and told everybody they could, and they told everybody they could, and it spread around the whole world in 30 or 40 years. That's just fascinating. And so before Paul died, he said everybody's had an opportunity. Everybody's heard. And we won't talk about since then, but Paul said, so he wasn't just being ambitious. He was just stating the truth. God called me to be a light, as it says here in Acts 13:47, unto the ends of the earth. Now, Paul didn't personally preach to everybody in the world, but he personally planted a lot of churches who sent people. And again, classic example, the Ethiopian eunuch, one guy. But we don't know what happened when he got to Ethiopia. So let's carry on. Any questions up to that point? Up to verse 47. All right, so verse 48. When the Gentiles heard this, heard what? That the gospel's to go to everybody. They were glad and glorified the word of the Lord. The Gentiles are like, this is exciting. We get to hear this too. You know, it's not just a Jewish thing. We Gentiles get to hear about Jesus Christ and get to make a decision whether or not to trust him. And it says, as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. So now we see Gentiles. You know, we saw Cornelius, but that was just like a one-off. But now we see the Gentiles starting to accept Christ wholeheartedly. And it says, look what happened, verse 49. The word of the Lord was preached throughout all the region. This is why the gospel made it around the world, because as soon as people got saved, they started telling others. And so even though Paul was just focusing on this city, the people then started going around the whole region and people were hearing. But the devil's still alive. So verse 50, the Jews stirred up. The devil's still going to resist when we try to get the gospel out. And that's what he does. And when he resists, he does it with people. He doesn't come down and do it himself with the red tail and horns, because he doesn't have those things. But he does stir up people. And he uses people to do his bidding. And no difference here. He stirred up these Jews to, and it says they expelled Paul and Barnabas out of their coasts. And they shook off the dust and moved on. They didn't quit. They just moved on, and they're going to preach the gospel somewhere else. But look what happened to the disciples, filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. Who are these disciples? These are the ones that have gotten saved in this city. They're filled with the joy and the Holy Ghost. So persecution didn't slow them down. And yeah, Paul and Barnabas had to leave because they got basically kicked out. But there's still all these people that have gotten saved. And they're going to keep preaching the gospel to their loved ones and friends. So that's the legacy that they leave behind. That's how it's worked for 2,000 years. Paul doesn't have to preach to every single person. He just needs to get things started, and then it spreads on its own. Amen? Which is how it's always meant to work. So any thoughts or questions up to there at the end of Acts chapter 13? Isn't that exciting to see this spread now among the Gentile people? All right, so we'll go to 14. We've got 10 minutes. So they've been kicked out. Where were they, by the way? Anybody remember? They're on their way to Iconium, but now I forget where all this just happened. Oh yeah, they went to Antioch and Pisidia. That's right. So they went to Pisidia, and that's where all of this took place. So now they're going to move on to Iconium, and where do they go? First thing, verse 1, synagogue. First thing they do. Well, a lot of reasons for that. I mean, we've read God's mandate, but also when you go to the synagogue, you've already got a group of people assembled that believe the Old Testament. So it's a ready-made audience, if you will. Unfortunately, it didn't always work out that way that they would accept, but why not go to where there's already a group of people who are reading through the Old Testament, people are preaching, why not go there first and tell them about the one who is the fulfillment of the Old Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what they did when they would go to these cities. But unfortunately, verse 2, the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. But it didn't stop them. Verse 3, the long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony to the word of his grace and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. So why are they still performing signs and wonders? We've talked about this. Yep. Proof to confirm their word. Remember, as at this point, there is no New Testament. There is not Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts. None of that's written down. So all they have is the Old Testament as far as the written word of God. And so God gave them the ability to work these miracles, these sign gifts, to say, we are definitely from God, and here's proof. And as we saw in Mark 16, Hebrews 2, confirming the word with signs. So God gave them this ability to confirm that they were from God with these signs and wonders. And this is fairly typical, verse 4. The multitude of the city was divided. So things haven't changed in 2,000 years, have they? You get people that accept and people that reject. It was divided. Same gospel, same Holy Spirit. Brother Mark?
Yeah, it's like when Jesus did the miracles, they thought he was all Satan.
Hmm. Perfect Son of God preaching the perfect Word of God, working miracles, and more rejected than accepted. How many were standing at the cross when Christ died? Not many. How sad is that? So verse 5, when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lyconia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they, what? Preached the gospel. So yes, yeah, sometimes they had to flee to keep from being killed, but it didn't stop them. Everywhere they went, preached the gospel. And some believed and some didn't believe, but God's now going to use another miracle to get the people's attention here in this Lyconia. And so there was a certain man, verse 8, at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who'd never walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and walked. That's a double miracle, by the way, because it says in verse 8 that he had never walked. So not only did God heal his legs, but God gave him the ability to walk instantly. You know, all of us, the rest of us had to learn how to walk. And that took a little while, right? He just jumped up. He'd never walked in his whole life, and he jumped up and was healed. But then it says he leapt and walked. So God gave the instant ability to leap and walk at the same time that he healed him. And God's going to now use this miracle to get the gospel out again. So any thoughts or questions up to this point? So imagine somebody that's never walked in their whole life. Of course, there was no social anything these days. If you couldn't walk, then you were a beggar, or your family took care of you. That's basically your two choices. If you couldn't work, you had to either beg or somebody had to take care of you and your family. And to be able to just instantly be able to walk after never walking, a grown man, God's going to use this. But these people of Lyconia, they were worshippers of false gods, so they did have some spiritual interest. The problem was it was misdirected. And so it says in verse 11, when the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of the Lyconia, "The gods are come down." So they immediately thought Paul and Barnabas are gods. And they called Barnabas Jupiter, and they called Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. And they're going to try to worship them. Well, that's an interesting reaction. The priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands into the gates and would have done sacrifice with the people unto Barnabas and Paul. They were going to worship them as gods. And that's probably a good place to stop, and we'll see how Paul turned that around. So any thoughts or questions?